hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody is having an absolutely amazing day today. A lot of wild stuff going on. We have Doug Hagman coming on the show today, so we're going to get to a bunch of different stories real quick and knock them out. A lot of stuff going on as always. Did want to give everybody a heads up. In California, it appears that the weather modification is not done, as what we saw in Texas and Oklahoma with the heavy flooding last week. They're now reporting that Northern California all the way down to Central California Wednesday and Thursday is going to get devastated with rain. They are saying that anywhere from 4 to 5 inches of total rainfall in the hardest hitting areas, including flash flooding, mudslide, and snow above 7,000 feet. Now, the crazy thing about this is the average rainfall during the entire month of May averages about 0.75 inches in Sacramento and about half an inch in San Francisco and Fresno. So they're about to get an onslaught of rain out there, so be prepared for that. Make sure you have all emergency essentials prepared for in that situation, Dad, because as we just saw in Texas, the flooding was no joke, and I think that's exactly what they're about to do to California again.
Well, I believe that's what they're always going to do. It's all about the food supply and basically destroying the food supply. Either it's muddy or wet, mudslides, or dry and devastating forest fires. I mean, it's what geoengineering has brought us. This is what's brought us to the planet. By the way, right now, the United States, run by our Zionist government, basically has decided that they're going to probably go into Iran. Bolton, who basically is a hardcore Zionist, some believe is a dual Israeli citizen. Robert David Steele said that here a few months ago. He basically has presented a plan now to deploy 120,000 troops in case of Iran escalation. At the direction of the National Security Advisor John Bolton, Acting Defense Secretary Patrick Shanahan last week presented the top White House national security officials with a plan to send up to 120,000 troops to the Middle East in the event that Iran attacks American forces or accelerates work on nuclear programs, the New York Times reports. Now, if you think about this for a second, why can't they develop a nuclear weapons program or nuclear energy program? Why do we have the right to tell them they can't do that? That's the question I have to ask you guys right now. I mean, and so what they're doing is they're putting in a caveat. In case they attack the United States forces, or basically a false flag attacks American forces, or they continue to go freely unmolested on their way to develop a nuclear program, why is the United States the only group of people that is allowed in China, in Russia, you know, in England, in France, are allowed to have nuclear facilities and nuclear weapons and a few others? Israel. I mean, why is that? Why is it we are the only ones, and why do we get to tell these people what they can and can't do? And some people say, well, these people basically are wild and they're animals and they can attack people. Wait a minute. Who overthrew Iraq? Who tried to overthrow Syria? Who did it to Egypt? Who did it to Libya? Oh, that would be the United States and our allies. Let's not forget about all of this stuff. Paul Craig Roberts yesterday did an excellent commentary on the lies that are being told about World War II and how in World War I, and how finally there are people out there that are doing research exposing the lies, and how now people are beginning to realize that, you know, that everything we were taught about World War I and World War II, which I've told you guys and taught you guys for years, was a lie. By the way, here's the Daily Mail today. Here we go. Iran threatens to attack Israel if the U.S. launches an assault on it, with the aircraft carrier now in the region. American deployed USS Lincoln, a fifth Nimitz-class aircraft carrier, to the Persian Gulf. Iran said America had started a psychological war, but warned against attack. Revolutionary Guards Air Force head Amir Ali Harizad called the move a serious threat. So now we have people parked in front of Iran. We've already initiated a war against them with economic sanctions, which is an act of war. And now they're basically saying they're going to defend themselves. And now we're telling us that they're telling us that basically, you know, they have to, you know, be prepared to attack Israel in the event that this happens. Okay, here's another one. It was sabotage. Here we go. This is Daily Mail. Iran used explosives to blow a hole in 4 ships anchored off the United Arab Emirates coast, says Pentagon, as Spain pulls frigate from the Gulf of Mirs. This is a complete and total lie. our Pentagon has no idea, since this just happened, what did this, who did this, and why they did it. Iran's denying any official, you know, any official involvement whatsoever, but we're already now assigning blame. It was sabotaged. Iran used explosives to blow a hole in the Daily Mail. It never ends. This stuff never, ever ends. Hear it again. Explosive-laden drones attack oil pipelines in Saudi Arabia in an act of terrorism. Here we go. Iran-backed Yemen rebels targeted global oil supply 2 days after the sabotage of tankers off the UAE coast amid looming conflict in the Middle East. Again, it's all pushing Iran, 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 Iran narrative. And, of course, our Zionist warmongering, never seen a war they didn't love, followers of George W. Bush here in the United States are pushing for this war with Iran now to take out yet another sovereign country and install yet another Rothschild bank into a sovereign country to continue in their global dominion of a one-world currency, one-world government, and a one-world religion. Austin, what do you think?
That pretty much sums it up. I mean, they know that Iran's not going to be an easy cake to take over. That's one of the reasons why I think they've waited to the very end. You know, Afghanistan is essentially a sandbox. I mean, they had no significant military personnel. Even Iraq did not have that much significance, and even due size of Iraq was much smaller. Iran's huge. I mean, if you actually know how to read a map and you look at a map, Iran is it's big. I mean, it is a big, big, big country. And I mean, if we get drawn into that, not only does Iran have, I think, roughly 550,000 active duty military personnel with like 350,000 reserve military, they got significant firepower because of Russia. Russia and China backed Iran. Let's not forget that. So, I mean, this seems to be, if this goes this direction, it may be the globalist play. And the thing about this, listen, guys, we've brought this up for years now. You know, I told you guys, Dad said the same thing. World War III is not going to happen unless the globalists want it to happen. And they may have reached a tipping point now where the mainstream narrative in the United States and globally is not as effective as it needs to be with their propaganda and rhetoric. And so now they've decided Iran has always been on the chopping block. I mean, you listen to that one top military guy, it was like, what, 20 years ago, there's a video, I forgot where it is, we'll have to find it again, and he pulls out a pile of papers and he goes, I had a briefing, and he goes, this is exactly what they told me. They told me that we were going to invade Iraq, and we were going to invade Afghanistan, we were going to invade Syria, and we were going to invade Libya, and we were going to invade Iran. And he lists them all down the line. This is pre-2001 when he did this interview. And so this is exactly what they're doing. Iran's just been the big dog at the end of the block that we've been kind of holding off. And the sad part about this is, guys, there's going to be a significant loss of life to U.S. military personnel if we invade Iran. Let's not forget that. I mean, like I said, they're not going to just roll over. They're not Afghanistan with a bunch of rebels that are going to be hiding in the mountains with AKs and RPGs. I mean, they have a significant arsenal and manpower, and I mean, the amount of personnel and the amount of armaments that we're pushing into that area right now with the undisclosed amount of B-52 bombers, the USS Abraham Lincoln, all that stuff is going to be open season if this goes down. And not to mention, Russia and China will get drug into it. So we'll have to see what's going on with this. I hope that cooler heads prevail and this calms down and these guys stop all this nonsense rhetoric and these sanctions. And that's one thing Dad brought up, and this is always a pet peeve of mine when I hear a lot of these hardcore conservatives be pro-sanctions. Well, no, they deserve it. They don't need to have this. They need to have sanctions put on them. And I'm like, do you understand what would happen in the United States if all of a sudden Russia and China all of a sudden said, hey, we're putting full sanctions on the United States. Anybody that does any business with the United States is going to be cut off from the rest of the world. And if you decide you want to do business with those countries after they've been cut off, we're cutting you off as well. Nobody in the United States gets anything from any other country anymore, including oil, including food, including tools, including products, including consumer goods, nothing. Now, the United States is pretty self-sufficient. We could probably reboot everything back up and become pretty solid again. However, the aspect of it is, for the time being,
be in, it would put us in a significant slump. And all of a sudden, everybody would go, this is horrible. This is really horrible. No, everybody, this is what we do to other countries on a regular basis, especially countries that aren't as powerful as us. Not that I'm saying I agree with Iran or their Islamic ideology or anything else, but what I'm saying is look at the bigger picture and understand why we're beating the war drums again to go to war with another country. Also, too, in one other news now, this is something we've been calling out, and Aiden Salar has now gotten confirmation from numerous Border Patrol agents, including Carlos Favela, the president of the National Border Patrol Council, Local 9129. He said more agents than ever are calling in sick to work or showing up sick. Agents are succumbing to illnesses brought in by the massive surge of illegal immigrants. He said Carlos Favela, president of the National Border Patrol Council, Local 1929, says the number of affected agents by illnesses has reached alarming levels in the last year and a half, with an estimated 20 to 25 agents, listen, from the El Paso sector calling in sick each day. You guys heard me bring up El Paso repeatedly in the last couple months. El Paso has been one of the largest hotspots for migrant drop-offs in the entire United States right now, as far as when illegals are brought in, they are processed, and then they are dropped off in El Paso. I brought this up to you guys a couple weeks ago. El Paso said they don't even know what to do right now because they have gotten literally thousands of migrants dropped off in El Paso literally within a few weeks period, and they can't handle from the infrastructure. You get from it, these people aren't coming in with vehicles and large amounts of cash and all types of skill set abilities that they can do, and law offices and doctor's offices and dental offices they can open up. They don't have anything. They were literally got across the border by the skin of their teeth, and so they're getting dropped off in El Paso. Now they're saying that these border agents working in El Paso, 20 to 25 a day now, are calling in sick. They said this is the record for Border Patrol wide since ever that they can remember of agents calling in sick. According to Favela, numerous agents are filing union reports claiming they've contracted everything from H1N1 virus to chickenpox, the Legionnaires' disease, after coming in contact with sick illegals encountered at the border. Agents are concerned they could affect their family members with these infectious diseases such as tuberculosis. Newly released figures from the Department of Homeland Security last week reveal Border Patrol agents encountered 109,144 migrants in April 2019. That is the highest number since the beginning of 2007 of illegal immigrant encounters at the border. So we're at a 12-year high again for illegal immigration at the border, and to the point now we're having record amounts of border agents calling in sick because of what they're contracting by these illegals at the border, yet still not a wall, still no restrictions, still more open than a Swiss cheese at the border now, and we see nothing slowing down at all. So again, we see the rhetoric and propaganda from Trump on closing the border was nothing but smoke and mirrors to keep the Patriot population at bay for the time being, till they could get a lot of their plans implemented. Just thought I would add that in there, Deb.
Well, that's absolutely right. In fact, I will give the Gay Canyon credit for this. He just kept signing executive orders. He just kept signing executive orders, just one after another, to get his policies implemented. Not all those executive orders, you know, went through, or they were basically, you know, stopped in the court systems. But Trump's not doing that. He's pretty much letting everything go as he wants to go, because I think he's trying to get reelected by the Hispanic population to vote, you know, in 18 months. Because remember, his election's coming up in 18 months. And so, you know, we're going to have to listen to the whole rhetoric now about the next, you know, campaign for the presidency for 2020. So that's why I think he's doing this. But that's my, again, giving him credit where credit's not due. He's had 2.5 years now to do this stuff and implement this stuff, and he's not done anything. It's just worse than it's ever been. And so, quite frankly, I believe he's doing the bidding of his globalist string pullers, his globalist agenda people, his New World Order groups, which has been firmly in control of the White House since the shooting of Ronald Reagan back in the 80s. Oh, by the way, this is great news. A bear now has been ordered to pay they've lost another court case, and now they've been ordered to pay $2 billion in the third Roundup cancer trial, which they've lost. And now this author is asking, is bankruptcy in the horizon? Well, quite frankly, they're not going to get $2 billion to go to these people, because the judge will overturn it again. He'll say it's excessive, just like they did in the first case. And it's what's going to happen over and over and over again. And it'll probably end up being, another $50 or $60 million probably, who knows. But those types of rulings are not going to really affect Bayer, you know, in the short term because of the amount of money they have. But this ruling has potentially devastating consequences for Bayer, you know, which acquired Monsanto for $66 billion, and since then Bayer's market cap has plummeted 40%. It likely will continue to spiral further downward after news of the third ruling spreads. In fact, Monsanto is named in about 13,400 additional lawsuits by the plaintiffs in the United States alone. Of course, Bayer's anticipated appeal the decision, due in part to the fact that the court usually punitive damages no more than 10 times higher than the compensatory damages. That said, with three successful verdicts against Bayer now established, indication is that the jurors are convinced by the evidence presented against the company. Also in June of last year, Ian Hilker, an analyst at Jefferies LLC in London, estimated in a note to clients that based on class action lawsuit involving at that time 8,700 plaintiffs believed to have cancer as a result of glyphosate exposure, Monsanto's liability could reach $800 billion. And now with over 13,000 plaintiffs, they're saying it could reach over $1 trillion. Guys, this is what needs to be done to the five guys who are damaging children with immunizations. Their blanket waiver needs to be taken away. If you take away the waivers and these people's ability to produce products that kill and poison children, they too will be sued out of business, which is exactly what was happening back in the 80s when Ronald Reagan decided to give them blanket immunity against prosecution, giving them the ability to not even test their products on anything and put it into the general population with large death rates associated with it, and it's okay. No, it's not okay. My good friend Doug Hagman is with us. I hear him on the phone talking. You're moving around right now. So Doug's going to be going up to an event in New York, and we're trying our best to try to get our schedule put together to go up there also. So, Doug, good to have you on. And tell us about what you're doing, and tell us about the latest breaking news from your end.
Hey, Ted, thanks. I didn't realize you could hear that. I apologize for that background noise. I should have muted myself. I know better. Anyway, it's going to be really great. I'll tell you what. A group of patriots started an initiative. It's titled Equal Justice Tour. That's Equal Justice Tour, EqualJusticeTour.com. Now, I didn't start this. I just signed on, basically. And what this is a long-term effort to hold to account the criminals of the deep state, starting with Hillary, Diane Rodham Clinton. And, of course, Coach Dave Dobmeier went up to Chappaqua, New York. This is, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, roughly. And did a video from that location, the largest crime scene in history, and said, "Hey, you know, we have to figure out a way where patriots and conservatives and Christians and Christian conservatives can come together and redress our grievances lawfully, peaceably, and you know, without hate, not like the left." So, hence the Equal Justice Tour was born. And the way it stands right now is that an untold number of people will gather and descend upon Chappaqua, New York, roughly at 2 o'clock is the target time, 2 p.m. on Sunday, May 26th. And the idea is to show up in mass, show up in numbers, sufficient numbers where the press can't ignore us, the media can't ignore us, and even the administration cannot ignore us. And our desire is that for the crimes of espionage, for the crimes of the server, the issues related to Benghazi, the issues related to Uranium One, all of the criminality that we saw with the Clinton criminal cabal, we want to hold them to account. We want to, again, we are the people. The government works for us. The Attorney General of the United States, the Director of the FBI, we pay their salaries. And it's not enough, just in my case, anyway, Ted, and this is the way I feel about it. I can sit behind a microphone, and I do, and I talk about the crimes. I talk about these issues. And I get emails saying, well, you know, you got a big mouth, but you're a little short on action. And I got to thinking about that, and I agree in terms of doing what I can when I can. So being limited, because I'm tied to a station here, if you will, being limited, I have to pick my battles pretty wisely. If that's a, if hopefully no one takes that out of context or picked my theaters of operation pretty wisely. So this came along. And again, EqualJusticeTour.com is the website. I've got nothing to do with that website. It's a group of patriots. Non-denominational group of patriots, shall we say. These are just grassroots people coming together. Not any real leadership or any point person. Now, maybe Coach Dave Dobmeier might be, but certainly not me or not anyone else. But we're just gathering people again to say we've had enough, and hopefully from this, hopefully enough people are sick and tired about the Clintons getting away with murder, perhaps, or sick and tired of the Clintons getting away with and Hillary getting away with engaging in what is tantamount to espionage. And, having classified information, top secret compartmentalized information on her private server, destroying evidence, destroying hard drives, attempting to circumvent or create a method end around the FOIA and Federal Records Act. All of these things that she's done, who among us is going to demand that she faces justice? Because we talk about this all the time. You and I talk about this all the time. And I think the average person is sick and flipping tired of seeing these people walking around without federal jewelry on their wrists and on around their ankles. And I, for one, am pretty frustrated at the lack of President Trump ran on the campaign promise or the campaign chant of lock her up. I would add lock them all up, all of the criminals, all of the people from the deep state. So it's one thing to voice our frustration over the airwaves. It's another thing to descend en masse upon a crime scene like Chappaqua and to say, you know what, there's too many of us here. You can't ignore us. We're not going away. We want to redress our grievances as permitted under the Constitution of the United States. And so that's what's going on. And by the way, sites like Right Wing Watch and others, the leftist activist sites, or the leftist sites anyway, they've termed me and people like me and Dobmeier and even you, Ted, as right wing activists. We're activists for truth. We're activists for equal justice. And it's amazing to watch the left watch their heads implode as they see this initiative take hold. And frankly, I think they're scared. I think the deep state at some level is afraid. We're not going to get them all. We don't have to. We just have to make a showing, make a presence, make our presence known, and to prevail at least, at least prevail in the majority of cases. And I think this is one where we can prevail.
Well, Doug, it's interesting because, now we have all the rhetoric going on about what's happening, with Iran attacking these pipelines, attacking these vessels, these ships, which there's no proof at all on any of this. And it's always the same. When the rhetoric gets too strong, when the people finally say, I've had enough, they always take us to war. Gerald Celente has said this so many times, and he's right. When all else fails, they got to take us to war. When we start to wake up in aggregate and find out, hey, wait a minute, we've got to do something, well, then they blow the patriotic whistle. They say, we're going to go to war. You have to support the troops. You've got to support the government. And that's where this is going. Now, I believe if I understand what's happening, we're all supposed to be doing like a drive-through through Chappaqua on Sunday, like at 2:00, just let them know that we're there in presence. And I believe some of the folks are staying on Monday to march in a parade in which Hillary Clinton is also marching. Is any of that true, or was I given incorrect information?
No, it's my understanding. Well, obviously, there's a parade on that Monday, and historically, the Clintons, and specifically Hillary, but I believe it's both Clintons march in that parade. And again, from historical looking back. Now, I'm not sure if it's every year or if it's here and there, but by all indications, public information, it looks like she's scheduled to be present in Chappaqua that weekend. So, Again, looking back historically, will she march? Perhaps. It looks likely. And if that's the case, yeah, you know, there are some people that will be marching in this parade. And it would be great to have people march in this parade behind Clinton saying, you know, we demand equal justice. We demand equal justice under the law. And we know we're not asking for special justice. We're not asking for anything that neither any one of us would not be subjected to. All we want is equal justice meted out. So, yes, your information is accurate, and it's going to be a spectacle. And I'd like to add one thing. You know, the reason it's a tour, the reason it's kind of depicted as drive-through or whatever you want to call it, is because of the issues that it's my understanding now. This is my understanding. You know, you can't. They're not going to give you a permit to protest out in front of Hillary's house. They're not going to give you a permit to use any of the public areas. So you've got to kind of improvise. And this is, it's my understanding, this is a way of improvising. But I do suspect. Imagine this. Just imagine this. Maybe 1,000. Maybe 500 cars. Maybe 100 cars. I don't know. Hey, anything over 10, 15 cars to me would be tremendous. But just kind of like slowing down and stopping and making our presence known and saying, you know what? We are not going to take this anymore. We demand. So this is to show the people out there that there are people who are getting sick and tired, and we want equal justice meted out to these criminals of the deep state. But yeah, to answer your question.
Well, Doug, where are the cars supposed to meet for the drive through? I mean, you know, we have to have you know basically, you know, factual information as far as if we're going to encourage our listeners to go up there and rent a car and drive through Chappaqua, and we all need to do it kind of in line, and you know, maybe turn our lights on or whatever we're going to do to prove that we're all together. Kind of like the funeral for Hillary Clinton as far as the funeral praise go. But we need to know where we need to meet and how we're going to do all of this, or is all that considered illegal also? Doug?
No. It's, in fact, if people just write this down, Equal Justice Tour, equaljusticetour.com, all of the information is there. Is on that website. You can even download an event flyer. All right. So keep checking that throughout the weeks, in the weeks, days, and weeks ahead. I don't know if things are subject to change, but no one's keeping track of your name. No one's keeping track of it as a list of people. But all of the information about like a rallying point and a place to, you know, a good place to meet, it's all on that website. And it might change. And that's why I'm not really getting detailed with it, because it might change depending on, depending on events. And you know how these things go, Ted. You know, you just operational security as well. We have to be careful with operational security. When I say we, of course, I'm talking about any one of us that attends these events. So, but equaljusticetour.com is where all of the information. And by the way, I've got nothing to do with the website. I just want to tell you, I've got nothing to do with it. I just know that the information is on there.
Well, what I want to do is I want to encourage the listeners, our listeners, to go to that website, make a decision on. For yourself, whether you want to go or not. Austin and I are doing the best we possibly can to discuss this and to go up there. We're also trying to maintain operational security as far as giving out our exact travel plans. I have no intentions on doing that. And so this is just really important that we all know where we need to meet, where we need to aggregate, and what needs to be done. I mean, it's just so important that we all realize that, you know, we've got to make our presence known. Like Doug said, we have to let people know that we are no longer going to take this just lying down, and we have to do something. I mean, we have a president that we put into the Oval Office that's supposed to be doing something. He's doing absolutely nothing with his campaign rallies, lock her up, lock her up, lock her up, and nothing happens. As soon as he gets elected, he announces the night of the election that Bill and Hillary are good people and that they're great people and that basically they're his friends. And you're like, what the heck, man? This is the same guy who was saying lock her up. So obviously Donald Trump's not going to prosecute the Clintons. That's just not going to happen.
Unless we say, hey, we demand this. I mean, Christian Saucier. Ted, I had him on my show. Christian Saucier, a young man he was a submariner. Took a half a dozen photographs of a nuclear sub, and he was sent to Leavenworth, all right, for a year. Now President Trump pardoned him. However, the bottom line is, if we show up in mass and somehow, and I believe this to be the case, Donald Trump gets wind of this, and he's going to say, "Wait a minute, man! I promised my base." You know, Ted, I listen to you often, and I really think that Donald Trump is not getting the information that he needs. I really think a lot of information is being filtered through by his closest advisors. I mean, you were talking about Iran. You know, look, the neocons, Bolton and others, they all want war.
But Trump put Bolton in the position.
Exactly. But now, was that why? Why did he put him in that position? Who put him in that position with Trump's authority? I mean, with Trump's imprimatur. I want to know who selected him, which member of his staff, because I really think Trump is surrounded by people who want to, A, start a war, and B, drift from the initial campaign promises, the platform on which he ran.
Well, you got to remember, the Kushners, Doug, are hardcore Democrats, both of them, hardcore Kabbalist Democrats, who basically are members of Shabbat, and they don't have Trump's best interests at heart. And this is like his chief guy in the White House. I mean, so we have to ask ourselves the question, who's really in charge of the White House? You know, who really gives Trump the information that Trump gets? But
right.
Then again, a year and a half ago, you know, Rodney went up there and met with him, Rodney Howard Brown, and actually was able to sit in the Oval Office and actually speak with him and discuss things. And that's when he had his picture taken, you know, on Trump's back, you know, praying for the president. They've not been invited back to the Oval Office. Every time they've been asked to go back up there, they never see Trump. They never get an invitation into the Oval Office any longer. They never get to meet with the president. You know, he's basically been sequestered. And
right.
that's by his own doing. I mean, because these people have the ability that I know who know Donald Trump, who speak to Donald Trump, who talk to him when he goes down to Mar-a-Lago to give him the information that he needs to have, but yet he's not acting on it. So that means we have to ask ourselves the question, who's in charge of the White House? Who's in charge of national policy? And then we have to go back into the dual citizenships that we have in the Congress and who's controlling what we hear and what we see through the media. And it all goes back to the international banking community, which are the ones that have basically run the planet now, you know, for hundreds of years, first through England, then for the Federal Reserve System. These are the same druids that have run the planet, the same group of people, the Luciferians, who've run the planet since Genesis chapter 6. This is who's in charge. This is the group that basically Trump is being controlled by. And the sad part about it is we don't know if it's because he's being threatened, his family's being threatened, or if he's capitulated. We have no idea. But I hope you're right, Doug. I hope that we create a big enough stir and the media covers it enough and alternative media covers it enough that we get Trump's attention and he realizes that we're not going to go quietly into the night. The Clintons are career criminals, and they need to be held accountable for what they've done, Doug, including the stuff that happened with Benghazi and with all the servers and all the files and all of the stuff that happened while she was Secretary of State. Not even to mention what happened in the Clinton White House, which that'll never come to justice. But at least we can do something that happened, you know, less than 10 years ago. What do you think?
Well, yeah, I agree. Look, I think when I look over the selected appointments, including Attorney General Bill Barr, and I understand his history, but what we saw with recent testimony by Barr, for example, we saw him take off the gloves and even throw a few punches at Mueller, if you kind of read between the lines. And I think that I think we're gaining ground in certain areas. And I think that the people that people like Barr, even though he's got some baggage, I get it. He's tight with Mueller. I can see some cracks in the deep state foundation. Based on what Trump has done, he's only been in office for today's day 845, for crying out loud. And we've been dealing with this for well over 84 and a half years, if you want to, you know, match a year to a day. So we've been dealing with this for generations, if not multiple generations. So, I'm still holding out hope, okay, because we have to play the cards we're dealt. And it could be a hell of a lot worse if we had Hillary Clinton in office. I mean, where would we be today if Hillary Clinton was sitting in the Oval Office? I dare say that we wouldn't be able to talk like this, and I don't think we'd have our guns. And I think that would be this country would be much, much more fractured, much worse off today than ever before. However, with Trump, look, I don't know what's in his heart. I don't know who's controlling him. All I know is we have a chance, don't we? I mean, and if we don't, if we think that we don't have a chance, I'll tell you what, let's pack up and move to friggin' some island somewhere and say, all right, you know, because if I didn't think I had a chance right now, I wouldn't be doing what I'm doing. I got better things to do, and I know you do too.
But well, the truth, Doug, is, I mean, we all have to have hope. I mean, a hope in a future, a hope in the promises, a hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. And, you know, the reality is, though, that, you know, when we put hope into people or individuals that don't have the same reciprocity towards us as far as wanting to help us achieve our stated goals and objectives, then at that point in time, we need to look elsewhere. I mean, the problem that we have right now in the United States is we have a completely corrupt electorate. I mean, they need to be replaced with term limits. They need to have all kinds of different campaign laws put into position so these large corporations can't give all this money to them all the time, that they can't be controlled through all of this negotiation behind closed doors, which is supposed to be illegal and it's not. I mean, all of this stuff needs to be put out into the open where we can see it. I mean, right now, I mean, we have redacted versions of all what happened with the FISA stuff. We have redacted. We don't get the whole truth of any of this stuff, but yet we're the ones that put these elected officials in the power. So I think that this meeting in Chappaqua is very, very important. And why? Because it's letting them know that, hey, we're not asleep. We're awake, and we know what they're doing, and we're going to hold them accountable to it, if at all possible. And the thing about it is we have to, whether or not we believe that what we're going to do is going to make a difference or not, we have to do something, and we have to do the best we can to the best of our abilities in an area that we know that we can do. Yeah. And that's why I'm saying to everybody right now, we've got to start somewhere. And if it means this, you know, rallying behind Coach Dobemeyer. I mean, Coach Dobemeyer got in front of Hillary's house the other day and said basically she need to be locked up. Next thing you know, the FBI is coming to check him out to make sure they don't have to put him in the prison for threatening, you know, Hillary Clinton. This is insanity. It's insanity that we can't hold our elected officials to the same level of accountability that we're held to, without having the FBI show up at our doorstep. Dave Dobemeyer wasn't calling for basically killing Hillary Clinton or doing something bad to Hillary Clinton. He was just calling for a full accountability with what Hillary Clinton had done as far as her past crimes. And yet he ends up with a visit by the FBI, which I'm sure shook Coach Dave Dobemeyer up pretty doggone good.
Yeah, he didn't do anything. Let me correct something, or at least adjust something you said here. That threat assessment, and they call these threat assessments, the FBI mm-hmm. goes out, and they knock on your door. I've been the subject of threat assessments. And they say, you know, hey, what are you planning on doing? Now, that threat assessment, it's my understanding, took place before the Clinton visit. And I could be wrong on that, but that's my belief. And look, when we were in North Carolina, the FBI showed up down there. They want to know exactly what's going on, the FBI does. If they've got the time to bother the constitutionalists, the patriots, the Christian conservatives, and to consider them a threat, then they doggone well have the time to go out there and to relaunch an investigation into these deep state actors, including Hillary Clinton to start with, because we are not a danger to the republic. It's the leftists. It's the Gramsci Marxist theory laden leftist lunatic muppets out there that are involved in this. And by the way, people might not know this, but Pete Buttigieg or whatever his name is, his father was a Marxist professor who praised the Communist Manifesto. This according to the Washington Examiner. Look at the people who are running on the left today. They're all applying Marxist theory to culture and cultural institutions and politics and economics, and here we are. So we've got to fight this, because otherwise we're subjugated.
Well, it's all from the Frankfurt School.
It is.
That's what this is. This is all Marxism. And the same group that invaded, you know, Columbia University in 1933, the same group that's pushed Cloward and Piven. It's the same group that destroyed the social fabric of our society, you know, with Playboy and with, you know, with Gloria Steinem. It's always the same people. I've talked about that on your show. It's always the same bloodlines. And the thing that we have to understand is that we can't just sit here and go quietly into the night, pretend like it's not happening. I mean, don't get me wrong. It'd be kind of nice just to go prep somewhere and go hold up in the woods somewhere for the next 20 years and then just chill out and have fun growing your crops and raising your animals and raising kids and grandkids and not thinking about any of this stuff. The problem is they're not going to allow that to happen. If they come in with a Marxist full totalitarian revolution like they did in Russia, Remember, the Russian Revolution didn't happen over a period of a couple years. It took decades, decades of these guys coming in and talking. By the way, they were also called Antifa, the anti-fascists in Russia. And what's the craziest part about all of this stuff is, Doug, is people think that it happened like overnight. It did not. It went on for decades until the royal family was assassinated. And then the Marxists took over and then started the Great Purge and killed 60 million of his own people. This is what this communist group does, this satanic-led group. They don't just come in and they don't – here, I have a friend of mine. Last night I sent him some links that I had that I sent out to a couple of my friends last night. And he says, these people don't stop. These communists don't stop. They keep coming at you, 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 coming at you. I mean, you know, back when we had the McCarthy hearings back in the 50s, Doug, he was doing everything he could to say, hey, women, these guys aren't going to stop. This is who these guys are. These are the same guys who did the Russian Revolution. These are the same guys. They're not going to stop. They've taken over Hollywood. They've taken over the media, and we've got to put a stop to it. But McCarthy was basically marginalized and ended up, you know, being ridiculed and pushed out and basically dying right after all that, and who knows what from. And the thing about it is that, you know, we have to continue to press against them, because if we just sit down and we stop, that's when everything just completely gets overrun by these communists, Doug. What do you think?
And there's the argument on behalf of the Equal Justice Tour, equaljusticetour.com. You just made a perfect argument to attend that. Look, if you're within a day's drive of Chappaqua, let's make your voice and your presence known and heard. We've got to do something. And even if it's, you know, if it's not us, who's going to do it? And Coach did a great video not too long ago titled, I'm Looking for Someone Else, the Other Guy. You know, it's always someone else will do it. Someone else will take care of it. Well, it's about time that we collectively and individually step in and say, you know what, I'm not going to take this anymore. I'm going to demand equal justice in this case, or I'm going to demand not special rights, but equal rights that are equal to the perverse transgendered, multisexual, whatever you call them out there. Look, they're pushing for special rights, and somebody, I think it was Flip Benham, said, you can't turn moral wrongs into civil rights, and that's exactly what we're seeing on multiple levels here. And I think that was a pretty profound statement. And you can't have a nation like we have it today, supposedly free, with a dual system of justice, with a two-tier justice system, and just us, you know, versus justice. Right now, we've got a nation of laws, or we've got a legal system. We don't have a justice system in this country, and it's about time we get our justice system back, because that really, to me, is a cornerstone of this country, is getting a justice system in place. I don't know, you know, it's so. I mean, to end with what I started with. I'm going to be out there with Eric the Tech. We're going to go out there and we're going to make our voices known. And frankly, I don't care if there's 5 people or 500 people or 5,000 people. As long as I'm there, I know I'm doing the right thing, doing my job and saying, you know what? We demand our voices to be heard. We demand equal justice. We demand that people be held to account. And hey, you know, I believe this is a God thing. I really do. I believe that God is behind this initiative. I've never said that about any other event before, and I don't know if I ever will again. But I believe that.
Let me add one other thing to it, Doug. You know, I mean, we have to realize that. You know, when we all rally together, at least we create enough stir to make people realize that, you know, we're part of the solution, not part of the problem.
Yeah.
Now, this area of New York is extremely Democratic. It's very leftist. And so there's no telling what type of, you know, when we arrive there, what's going to happen.
They're not going to lay the red carpet out for us.
No.
Yeah.
And so what we have to realize is that, you know, we're all going to be up here to support one another. And that's why Austin and I are planning on going. I'm just not going to release any travel plans. I mean, this is what we're planning on doing. So, guys, it's so important that we all stay together, because if we don't work together towards a common goal, if we don't have some type of hope, like Doug said, then we're not going to have any hope whatsoever, because the country's going to H.E. double sticks in a handbasket right now, and we have no leadership from the Oval Office. Now, I know Doug believes that Trump's not being told what's going on. I disagree with that. I think Trump's part of the problem. I think he's been compromised. Now, a lot of you don't believe that, and I'm okay with that. I mean, I'm just looking at the fact that he's got more CFR members in his administration and more Zionists in his administration than any administration ever in the history of the United States. So as far as I'm concerned, he's the one who's putting these people in, or could have put these people back out. And we saw with the Mueller probe how it dragged on and on for over 2 years. And basically Trump just sat there and let it run its course. And, you know, I say, well, a lot of people say, well, he just didn't want to interfere. No, no. Look at the attorney general he put in play. I mean, he didn't even ask him to resign, you know, with Sessions. It was a disaster. The whole thing's been a disaster up to this point. And I just hope that Trump wakes up. I hope that he wakes up and he realizes that he is the president of the United States, and he doesn't have to comply with these orders and these edicts that are being given to him by other members of his staff or even his own family members. Doug, I want to thank you so much for being on today. I want to urge everybody to listen to the Hagman and Hagman Report this evening from 7 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And, Doug, I want to thank you for everything that you do as a patriot and for being my friend. I really, really appreciate you, my friend. Do you have any closing comments?
Hey, you know what? We may disagree on little things, but we agree on the big things. That's all
right.
That counts. And the show of solidarity among the patriots and Christians and conservatives, that's what we need, and that's all we ask. God bless you and Austin, and thanks for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Doug, I appreciate you, my friend. Austin, what do you think about our conversation, and what's your next news story, bud?
No, absolutely. There's no question about it. I mean, it's important that we definitely get directly involved with everything that's going on right now. Also, too, though, in other news, we get a lot of stuff together here. Drug makers, this is interesting now because we've seen the push for a lot of these pharmaceutical drugs that are continually getting pushed through the FDA, that are continually getting all this approval, even with very little to any long-term research, including a lot of the vaccines. We're now finding that drug makers lobbying spending is at a 10-year high in Washington. They said the Washington lobbyist totaled $70 million in 2018. It is now reaching almost $87 million this year in total lobbyist money from pharmaceutical companies, which will be right up where 2009 was when Obamacare was beginning to shake up the healthcare sector. Now, the thing about this is everybody has to understand the entire aspect of the lobbying is essentially, put it nicely, it's essentially bribes is what it is. This is what's been going on for decades upon decades. When you have pharmaceutical companies and you have, you know, conflict of interest with individuals like Gottlieb, who's one of the top chairmen of GlaxoSmithKline, then steps down from GlaxoSmithKline and then becomes head of the FDA, and then GlaxoSmithKline lobbies $20 to $30 million over the course of a few years and get certain things approved. I mean, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out what's going on there. It's pretty conflictive. But so all these things are starting to occur, including this massive push for vaccines now, which in my opinion and from the numbers I'm seeing is also part of a lot of this lobbying money to push vaccines harder and harder and harder. Well, now, something that's interesting that's gotten, like, very little media coverage, if any, last week, is that Governor Kate Brown of Oregon signed a bill on May 6th last week that will allow dentists now in the state of Oregon to administer vaccinations. I kid you not. House Bill 2220, which passed and she signed into law, will make it possible for dentists to give vaccines, including the MMR vaccine, the HPV vaccine, and annual flu shots. Now, before I go any further into this entire article here, take a step back and think about that for a second. Three of the most controversial vaccines, three of the most destructive vaccines, three of the most toxic-laden vaccines, three of the most ineffective, clinically researched ineffective vaccines that we know of to date, the MMR vaccine, which we have gone off repeatedly about how the measles virus in that is active and it sheds and a lot of times causes the measles. On top of that, it suppresses the mumps for only a short period of time, and if you don't get continual booster shots of it, you eventually get mumps in the future as an adult, which can make you sterile. So not even including the research that was done by the CDC that was linked back to black boys were becoming increasingly autistic every time they got the MMR vaccine. the HPV vaccine, which we've talked about repeatedly, which has been linked to cervical cancer, linked to the thing it's supposed to prevent, add that, also linked to basically early menopause, and all these other health issues of killing Guillain-Barre syndrome. And then the flu vaccine, which is loaded with mercury still, one of the only vaccines that still has thimerosal mercury in the vaccine. Dentists now in the state of Oregon will be legally allowed to administer it. They said that H2220 requires dentists to take a simple continuing education course on vaccination and, of course, comply with state vaccine storage and reporting regulations. Now, the thing about this is that a lot of people aren't just discussing the ramifications of allowing dentists now to be financially incentivized by pushing vaccinations. We now have the aspect of the vaccine history of a patient. Dentists don't carry vaccine histories on patients. They're going to have to communicate with a primary care provider, or they're going to have to store all that information at the dentistry. Now, think about this for a second, because some people legitimately can't have vaccines. They have peanut allergies. They have all kinds of stuff. They can flat out die from anaphylactic shock from getting a single vaccine, much less the long-term side effects from it. So that means that the dentist is going to have all the primary care physicians' shot records on tap, meaning now they are going to have the ability to know what your child has had their vaccinations for. They're going to know if they've had a religious exemption. They're going to know if they've had zero shots. They're going to know if they have no shots or a couple shots. This, again, is starting to put together the entire database of the vaccine registry that we've talked about and warned about for years now, that it seems to be is starting to come into effect. How slick is it to now start allowing dentists to vaccinate your children? Because now they come in, and just think about this theoretically for a second. They come in, my child, I need to get their teeth clean. You know, they don't have any cavities, they don't drink soda, but we need to get their teeth clean. We need to make sure everything's going on. We have a baby tooth that, you know, is falling out. We want to make sure that everything's going good with their permanent teeth. And then the dentist comes in and says, oh, okay, yeah, we're going to take care of this here, but listen, guys, your child doesn't have an MMR vaccine, he doesn't have an HPV vaccine, he hasn't had a flu vaccine, so in order to treat him, in order to take care of his dental issues, in order to clean his teeth and make sure all of his adult teeth are coming in properly, we have to get him up to date on the shot records, guys. This is, you know, we can't do this. We have an exemption. We're not getting shots. Now, unfortunately, here it's my private dentist office, and I don't allow individuals to be seen unless they're up to date on their vaccines, unbeknownst to the patient and unbeknownst to the parent, that the dentist is now getting funds from the Blue Cross Blue Shield because they are being incentivized by increasing the vaccine schedule that they now carry at their dentistry office. You go, no, my child, you don't understand. They have the religious exemption. They're not getting shot. Well, I'm sorry, I can't see your child. You're going to have to go to a different dentist now. Now, all of a sudden, you get blackballed trying to get to another dentist because, oh, wait, you don't have your shots. You don't have all your up-to-date vaccinations anymore. So now no dentist wants to see you. This is what they're slowly going to start doing to try to push that. Now, God forbid your child has a cavity, has a horrible cavity that they basically have to drill out, has some type of excruciating pain in their jaw, and you go, oh, my gosh, I got to get this cavity taken care of. Sorry, we're not going to treat your child until they vaccinate them. This is what they're doing under medical martial law, medical tyranny, to try to force the population into getting shots. And it's no coincidence that the three shots that the dentist in Oregon now have the ability to shoot up are three of the most controversial, toxic, non-working vaccines that we have ever seen in the history of the United States population. So just thought I would add that in there, Dad, that we're now seeing dentists have the ability to give vaccinations at their office.
You know, I don't really know what to say about this. It's just that they're trying to get another layer of medical professionals to do their dirty work. I mean, that's about as clear as I can make it. I mean, they're giving shots at Walmart. I mean, they're giving get your flu shot at Walmart.
Yep.
The reason they're doing this is because their narrative is failing. People are waking up to the dangers of shots. People are beginning to realize that, you know, children come down with autism after they get shots, and they don't want to have this news out there in the media out there. I mean, remember, you know, it's the same group that I've talked about so many times that control Trump, that control the United States legislature, that control the world. I mean, we had that international banker just a few years ago talk about how he got out of the international banking circuit because of the higher levels. They were all Satanists and doing, you know, human sacrifice and and baby killing. It's the same druids. It's the same weirdos. It's the same guys. And that's the thing. Until we shake these guys loose, until we get the shackles that they put on us off of us, until we take a chance of saying, hey, wait a minute, we're going to do something to put a stop to this, it's not going to stop. This is a giant steamroller that you just have to protest about and around, but not try to get underneath. That's the most important thing. And so we have to realize one of the easiest things that we can do is say no to vaccines. You know, tell your friends to say no to vaccines. And the biggest problem your friends are going to run into, especially with daycare systems, especially here in Florida, is a lot of daycare people are going to say, well, we're not going to allow your child to come in without vaccines, with or without a religious exemption, because we're not a public school system and we don't have to take them because we're private. And this happens all the time. So you've got to figure out where you're going to take this stand. If it's going to spread the vaccines out, if it's not going to do vaccines, if it's not to do certain vaccines. But you've got to be willing, and you've got to get it down deep in your spirit, that you're going to do what you need to do to get it taken care of. Otherwise, what's going to happen is you're going to be pushed by the status quo to continue to do this. Here's another article. It says, killing 20 babies a year and infecting tens of thousands. Measles? No. Whooping cough? No. Spread by the vaccinated. So true. So many of these diseases now are being spread through shedding by the people who've been vaccinated. We've covered this so many times. And it's, again, it's a giant lie. And if we gave the trial attorneys a chance to come after these vaccine manufacturers with all of their bogus data, they would do just exactly what happened back in the 80s when they were giving kids autism back in the 80s when Reagan had to give them blanket immunity against prosecution. They would stop doing it. But remember, Reagan was compromised. He's also the one that gave us basically the banning of assault weapons as far as machine guns. He did all of that stuff. Reagan did that. Reagan's White House was run by the George Bush White House right after Reagan got shot, and they kept him medicated for the next 8 years. I mean, what a mess. Guys, I love you. I had the privilege and the honor and the responsibility of praying for you today, as I always do. I love you guys. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for listening. Thank you for spending this. Like this, even if you can't make it to Chappaqua, you can forward this show to your list. I had a friend of mine just this morning contacted me. He goes, well, Facebook's banned me for the next 3 days. And I'm like, well, join the club. You know, we've got to get out there and we've got to tell our friends. They can't ban you if you send out private emails to your private list. Everybody's got 10, 20, 30, 40, 100 people on their email list. Send these links to your friends and say, please listen to this show. You need to wake up. I love you guys and I appreciate you. Austin, go ahead and finish it up and I'll do the write-up.
Absolutely, guys. Thank you so much for the continued support. And like Dad said, figure out what you can do to help, what you can do to make a stand, what points that you can try to contribute to this consistent fight that we're in right now. I mean, there's no doubt about it, because everybody has different options. Everybody has different pros that they have. Everybody has different things that they can contribute. So be sure to do the best you can. And like Dad said, to me, you know, addressing vaccines, like you said, whether or not it's spreading them out heavily, whether or not it's delaying a lot of them, whether it's not doing any of them, whether it's only doing a few of them, whether it's trying to get single vial doses from a private practitioner, whatever it is that you feel convicted to do, follow your conviction. That's the biggest thing. Do your research. We have the articles on the website. We're like, 650 different research studies now that are showing the negative side effects of vaccines. Look at those. Look them up. We appreciate the support, guys. Thank you for supporting healthmasters.com. The beet juice powder is currently on sale still for today as product of the week. So be sure to check that out if you want to get it before it changes. And of course, today is the last day of the coupon, the HR5 coupon code, which is 5% off everything store-wide. So be sure to check that out at Health Masters. We appreciate the support, guys. Thank you for forwarding our show. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.